It's June the 16th, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman studio in the United States of America on God's good, great planet Earth. What am I looking for this summertime? I just want to do this.
Sitting by the ocean with nothing to do but talk.
But talk. To you. To God.
Yeah, that's right.
Sitting here listening to the whispering waves telling me.
What they telling you.
It's true.
Do something else, man.
Hiking to the top of a mountain, drinking water from a cool, clear stream.
Oh, yeah, get away from the news headlines.
Watching the sunset and talking to God and knowing He.
What He do.
Loves me.
What is that called? It's called.
These simple pleasures.
Just simple pleasures.
Are everywhere in great measure.
Yeah.
I just open my eyes and I can see.
What?
The richest things I have are free.
Yeah, the richest things that I have in life are free. That's John Fisher singing from an album way back in the 70s. Thanks for coming to my website. This is PJ, your internet pastor. We're going to talk about an epigram on patience. Emerson wrote this years ago. He said that a man is a hero not because he is braver than anyone else, but because he is brave for 10 minutes longer. I want you to be braver for 10 minutes longer in your life. Don't get caught up into the hodgepodge of foolishness. You know what? A lot of good scriptures in the Bible talk to us about endurance. Keep on going ahead. Don't stop. Ooh, listen. Do that one more time for me. Ooh, I like this. Listen to the orchestration. You know, as we talk about it, Yes, that's what they're doing. What else are they doing, John?
Getting paranoia when the prices annoy you. You can't see the light.
Yeah. What I want to talk about is endurance and perseverance and all that kind of stuff. It's called a keep on keeping on in the face of a culture that has totally turned its back on some things that are balanced and legitimate. The legitimacy of illegitimacy is crazy. I don't care how you look at it. You know what? Let me speak to an issue. You know, because it was gay pride here last weekend in Los Angeles, okay? And in this gay pride, and I don't mind, you know, the gays having their way and everybody else having their way, fine. Go ahead. Make yourself happy. You want to do that. But there was a disgusting ad, and the ad had a picture of a young boy. I don't know how old he was, twerking and making sexual gyrations, just like if it were a straight event. You know, when you got a kid out there doing sexual things that don't even know the significance of what he's doing, you're polluting and poisoning that kid's mind. And I don't stand for that. I come adamantly against that. That's crazy. And I'm telling you that when you've lost your sexual mind, I don't care whether you're gay, straight, tweak, wake up, find yourself a woman, and you think you're Bruce Jenner in the Olympics or whatever that is, you have no business polluting the mind of a child like that. And I think that's a slap right in the face of the gay community to do some trashy stuff like that, having children doing that. And I think that the people that organize these things, I'm not going to go like the straight out conservatives say, see how they're destroying our country. No, they're not destroying your country. You're destroying the life of an individual child who hasn't matured enough, okay, to know what in the heck they're doing. And I think that when you allow those things to happen, that you are causing great indifference to me anyhow. Now let's look at this. endurance situation here that we're looking at here, okay? And I think that as we define this, we'll be able to know where we stand in that line. Now let me find my place, because you see, I've lost my place again, and I want to talk about that in the real. So stick around as we talk about endurance today. I think you'll enjoy this webcast. All right, now we're going to continue this discussion on endurance. Booker T. Washington took a train ride in 1893. In 1893, Booker T. Washington took a train ride of more than 2,000 miles round trip from Boston, Massachusetts, to Boston, Massachusetts for a 60-minute visit to Atlanta. His sole purpose in doing this was to give a 5-minute address at a convention of International Christian Workers Association, which had provided his first chance to speak before a predominantly white audience in the South. Now, that is endurance, because that took courage, that took something that most people do not have. Now, I wanna give you another indication of what endurance looks like. One story which illustrates the kind of talent that you like to see was General MacArthur, who called in one of the Army's engineers during the war. He asked, "How long will it take to throw a bridge across a stream?" 3 days, the engineer told him. "Good," snapped General MacArthur. That's Douglas MacArthur, if you don't know who that was. He says, "Have your draftsmen make drawings right away." 3 days later, the general sent for the engineer, who asked how the bridge was coming along. "And it's all ready," he said. "You can send your troops across it right now, and you don't have to wait for the pictures. They ain't done yet." You see, what happened, endurance was the bridge was built, not the pictures. "You just give me the order to do that, and I'm going to do it." Now, let's bring that home. Let's bring that home as we talk about this. As we talk about this. When someone gives you a task to complete, talking to you young people out there, because you see, you know, we got all these ideas about, all the old ideas are gone. I've been talking with these young men, and they tell me, "Well, see, John, the old ideas that you're traveling under are gone." Oh, hell no, they're not. They're not gone. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. And I'm kind of glad I'm on vacation, because I have time to ponder these ideas, to throw them around in my head, and to try to see if they still work. Are the ways that secured, listen to this, are the ways that secured a life of guaranteed, okay, a life that really speaks clearly about what is supposed to take place, are those ways gone? Are we indifferent to those ways? Can we really rely upon those old systems? Yes, we can, because they still work. And they work in the life of a person that has a purpose or a plan in his life. You cannot endure and go further in this life without a plan. And you cannot go further without a plan where God is attached to that plan. Because if not, you're going to be out there freelancing? Or are you going to be skateboarding on ideas that you haven't proved a darn thing about life? Let me tell you something. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "If the Son has set you free." Now, we're talking about, now, if this offends some of you, turn it off now. Because you see, I'm not going to operate under the jurisdiction is that there are no divine entities. There is nothing out there but you and your, man, if you're all it is, and if we're all it is, connected to nothing out there, well, then there's no future. There's no future hope or expectation for anything. Okay? Now, if there is future expectations for things, those expectations will work within the realm of what is real. Now, if you're operating on the realm of something that is not real and it have not been proven, well, then you can't endure any further than where your mind would take you. Bible verse, it says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory." Now, this is something personally that I believe, not because it was written in the Bible, but because that has been applied to my life every day of my life. God will supply all of my needs according to the riches that he has in glory. You're atheistic. You're agnostic. You don't believe in God. You believe in Satan. You believe in evil. You believe, well, then you go to him and do his bidding. I'm going to do God's for the rest of my life. I don't know how to do the bidding of a beast. I don't know how anyone can willingly bow down and to subject them their lives to something evil. I see a community all around me doing that all the time, and they're thinking that it's going to work for their benefit. Well, it's not. It never has, and it never will. No, let's try another means of coming to this, okay? I want to look at this because we're talking about endurance. And, well, let me talk about giving up. Okay. Just going through a browse search, searching for giving up. You know, it's... We do that a lot, and you know, I also here's one, giving up on the world. Okay, here's one right here, giving up on the world. Check this out. Okay, a California newspaper carried a story about a lion that escaped from his cage during a carnival. Okay, men showed their heels, women screamed and sheltered their children. Now, you'd expect an escaped lion to bolt out of the tall grass, right? But this king of the beasts had been seen in captivity so long that he took a quick look at the world, and then guess what he did? He turned and he walked right back into his cage. Now, this lion was very, very smart. He was not only smart because he gave up on what he saw out there. He saw that what he was challenged with as a wild beast was a bunch of crazy people acting completely out of concord. Why is it that we do exactly the same thing and we are the highest created human beings that ever lived? We are human beings. And so we operate on a different level, but not in this generation. They don't operate like that. No. They're like lions out of a cage. And instead of doing the natural thing to going back into the cage, they try to create a world that works for them out of nowhere. And it doesn't. And so what we have is we have two different cultures vying for ownership in this world. We have one culture that is mine, old-fashioned, where, you know, the answer works. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about, okay? Not only healthily is this for me, but I do it every day of my life. I eat one major meal a day. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm drinking vitamin water now. I'll probably eat a little something this morning before I head out in an hour or so and take care of my day and take care of things that I have to do. I'll nibble on something, a little fruit or something to keep me healthy while I'm out today because I'm on vacation and I'm out there and I'm enduring and I'm giving up on the world. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to see nice scenes. I may go to the zoo. I may go to an arboretum. I'm going to a free place, something that I'll just spend a couple of dollars, and I'll enjoy myself. It's a nice sunny day out there. I don't have to go to work. I'm doing the webcast. I'm getting in out of the way. And I'm going to do something positive, something that's going to make my life exciting. And it's not going to cost me more than $10, trust me. No, my vacation this summer is going around seeing the world that I want to see, doing what I want to do. Okay, being with whom I want to be with. Keeping my mind tight, my mind fresh, probably taking a book. I was moving some things out of my old office classroom this morning, moved it here in the office. I'm going to start, you know, talking on one of these little tablets, and I'm going to talk out all of my outlines, and that's easier than retyping them by hand. Going to have a great time as I go out today. Find a nice shady tree, have a nice lunch, and just enjoy myself. What are you doing this summer? What are you doing to find yourself? To find yourself, I mean, go towards nature. Just try to enjoy your life instead of getting caught up in the headlines of the day. Yeah. Yeah, man. And that's what, you know, that's what the world wants you to do, to get caught up in the headlines. Don't get caught up in the headlines. All this stuff that's going on. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my mind at ease. At ease at all times. And I think that's a very good thing to do. Keep my mind at ease. Now, how does a man keep his mind at ease? Okay? Keeping my mind clear. Now, that's a good thing, keeping your mind clear. I typed that in my little browser, in my topical browser, and unfortunately, nothing came up. And so what do I do to keep my mind clear? Okay, it's searching, and it hasn't stopped yet. It stopped. There's nothing. I'll tell you how. How about this? Keeping my mind. Oh, there it is. Good. You know, as a Christian, keeping my mind. Trying to help you believers out here. Try to, you know, you get into a good topical browser. It's not going to do that. You have to get into a more precise way, I guess, to do this. I'm just looking at my Christian browser here on this wonderful program that I have on this day before I take off. But I have a better way to do that. Let me do it this way. I got a book in my library that shows me how to do that. Yeah. Here it is. It's an old Bible thing here, just to share. It's called a quick scripture reference for counseling. I used to use this book years ago. The book came out in 1995. It was one of the finest books. And it's all in alphabetical order. Starts off with adultery. We're talking about adultery, affliction, alcohol, anger, anxiety. Okay, assurance of salvation, bitterness, blame shifting, brooding. I remember all of this thing. Here's one called Change to Please God on page 27. And marked all in this book, I have all these markings all in here. This is really something. So I'm going to take a very close look at this as I turn on my light so I can read better. My daily devotion starts off. It says that a true Christian can change, for God makes it possible through a spiritual renewal process. Now, I know that true Christians can change, and let's just keep this in mind, not the kind of change that your president was talking about, because that was talking about a change of economy, a change of the way our world runs. Now, in light of the discussion that I'm talking about, what what we've done in our society today. How do we sustain ourselves? How do we remain the kind of persons that we should be in light of a society that no longer embraces 100% Christian ideas? We no longer embrace those ideas. Well, it says that if anyone has been united with the Spirit of Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, what that means is the old ways of doing life, to please people, to please yourself, living a lie. For years I lived a lie. You know, I was living up to other people's expectations. Even when a pastor, when people would ask me biblical counseling questions, I would ask them, why are you asking me this? The answer is found in your scriptures. Do you read your Bible? Well, I want to know what you think. And guess what? Since I was getting a paycheck and they were paying me and I'm a pastor, I bent over backwards to look into God's word to try to tell them what God would be saying to them. Hold it. I should have taken them to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature, man. The old is gone and the new has come. Why are you come talking with me about the old? If you know better than to mess with that woman, why are you still messing with that woman? Don't come asking me why are you still messing with that woman. The new hasn't come. Wait a minute. Let's go to the Old Testament and see how God would answer that. In Ezekiel 36:25-27, great few verses. God writes through the prophet Ezekiel, if you believe in inspiration and illumination and the process in which God speaks through other individuals to bring it about to you. Oh my gosh, I was on the internet and I was looking at these black Israelites and they were trying to explain who the true Gentiles are. They were dressed like clowns in gold and blue and looking all stern. And I said, is this what Christianity has driven our young men to? This? I listened to the dialogue. I said, now who is to argue against these young men and to come against them and to give them the proper way? Surely they're not going to listen to an old white-haired man telling them, hey, you young brothers got it wrong. Listen to what it says. This is what God says in Ezekiel 36:25-27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. This is what God says. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. And you know what these things are. I was just in the living room and a young man was looking at something on the television about a drug bust. And they got these foolish dudes in a Mercedes and the DEA busts them. They take all the dope out, automatic weapons, everything else. What in the heck are two young dudes in the afternoon driving in a Mercedes round, in a black Mercedes, like they're rich businessmen? And if you're going to smuggle dope, at least do it incognito. That's stupid. These young people are stupid. And I passed through the living room and I said, now that's stupid. And then, of course, I had to admonish him to turn that foolishness down because I was going to make a webcast. They watch this stuff. They glorify violence. No, God says, I will sprinkle water on you. You got to give up your idols. Then he says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I'll remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Now, this is what God wants to do. He wants to implant. He wants to embed himself in the life of the person. I know nobody wants to believe that anymore. You share that to this new sprung audience of individuals that are supposed to be living for God. You do that, and it's almost impossible to reach them because of the job that wickedness has done in the minds of our young people. Yes. Look at Titus 3:4-6. We're talking about changing. You know, everybody talking about change, right? Yeah, since your president's in there. Well, he's not too much in the headlines these days, but look at Titus 3:4-6. He says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Okay. It's not because of the righteous things that we have done, because let me add this, none of us are righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that anybody's righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Now, you may say, well, I don't like God. I don't like the idea of God. My righteousness around you, filthy dirtbag. That's what you are. That's what I am. Now, unless you come to that recognition and the exploitation of the lie that you believe that you are not filthy, then you will never be changed. That's what biblical Christianity is all about. Have to realize, really, when you come in contact with the deities, unless you flat out full-blown atheists that believe that you can live and do anything like that poor person that had their child out there twigging in the middle of the street in the gay pride thing. You know, like I said before, if that was wrong. And just like the JonBenet Ramsey case years ago, you remember that? That was wrong too for that woman to have her child up like a little hussy dancing like that. And now the child, whoever found JonBenet Ramsey, who did it? They never found that little girl. Where's that little girl at? She was a real person. Yes. Look at this. But when our Lord and Savior Christ appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, because of his mercy. In other words, God just looked down and said, John, you're a filthy piece of trash. You will always be a filthy piece of trash. I am your superior creator. I created you. I'm going to change you, and I'm going to have you put out on the microphone what you are, what the people are that listen to you, and beckon them to come to me that I may be their savior. Most people in America today would say, I don't need a savior. Look at what God is doing to our environment. Look at what he's doing or allowing to take place to his planet. Now, let's finish reading those verses. He says, he, that is God, saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generally through Christ Jesus, our Savior. This must be accepted in your heart. And if you don't accept that in your heart exactly the way that is placed, and I'm reading it in English, and if I were reading it in any other language, I would say it the same way. And I'm going to tell you, it's believing the writ like this that justifies you before God. It's believing the writ just like this that justifies you before God. I'm going to say it one more time. It is believing the writ just like this that justifies you before God. I'm saying that three times because some of you need to hear that. It is not what you think. Now, you may think, well, John, I think that the profession that you were in years ago and the one that you're still trying to accommodate is a lost cause. That's because you can't hear the truth. There's a great Bible verse that says that if our message of salvation is lost, if it's lost, it is lost or hidden to them that are perishing. And why is that? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of people that they may not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? And so if our message is hidden, it is hid to people that are perishing. See, and there are certain people that are perishing because they don't want to hear the message. There's another scripture, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 17. It says, therefore, come out from amongst their midst and be separate. In other words, what this scripture is saying is set up a boundary. Exclude your life from things that will pull you down in the pit. One of the things that I try to teach the young men that come around to visit me, I said, you notice when you come into my house, it is clean. I said, the counter is clean, the floor is clean, the blinds are clean, everything is clean. I said, this isn't clean through a cleaning service. This is clean through the service that I attend to my house. because if I didn't do this, the house would be filthy. It would be unlivable. And I said, and that is a way that God views the human heart. Because you see, if the human heart has not been washed by God, it is filthy. It is depraved. That is why you see humans, we rape each other, kill, pillage, steal, lie. We do all these evil things. People talk about lust. Man, all of us are lustful. The straight ones and the gay ones. All of us are full of it. And we know it if we admit it to ourselves. That is why when we get alone in the confines of our minds. I had someone ask me early this morning, were texting, and they asked how I slept last night. And I said, I slept wonderfully. I said, last night's sleep was beautiful because I went to bed with no unrighteousness in my heart, on my mind, and I slept through it. And then I asked the person, now vice versa, how did you sleep? Don't be asking me how I slept. How did you sleep? This is an individual claim. Okay. And so we understand this. Now, I want you to carry that with you. Now, these kinds of messages have a way of working on people's heart. I know. My webcasts do. Because my webcast is, you can go to some of the past casts and see the work that I've done. And you can see that I was dealing with the lives of individuals that were living reckless and what happened to them. But now when I put up things on this website on a daily basis, I find myself not trying to convince myself to believe this, but to convince a very small audience out there that what they need to do is to continue to go forward. Continue to go forward in your faith in an individualistic way. This is not done in group, as I've been teaching for years. It's done on an individual basis. I have kept in contact with a few friends of mine that I've known for well over 20 years, over Facebook and other things like that. And I've really come to recognize that if this faith is going to do anything in your life, well, let me give you one last glimpse at what Paul says about the endurance of someone's life. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I was just turning the pages of my Bible, I want you to go there with me, and I'll end up there since I've been rambling on for 32 minutes. Go there with me. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Start right there. Look at this. Having the promises, what promises? All the other aforementioned promises that he spoke about in chapters 1 through 6. And keeping in mind that when Paul was writing this, that he wasn't writing in chapters and verses. This was a letter to the church at Corinth. All right? Now look what he says in verse 2. Make room for us in your hearts. We wrong no one. We've corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. Now this is the true estimate of a true biblical person. Make room in your hearts for people. I've been trying to share that with Christians for years. I make room in my heart for these young men that come by to visit me. I have to, because ain't nobody else making no room. They don't have any room in their heart. Make room in your hearts. And then the writer, Paul, said, we wrong no one. We've corrupted no one. Not like these preachers out there today lying to you, talking about you old tithes. That's a lie from the very pit of hell. Look at verse 3. I do not speak to condemn you, Paul says, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. See, Paul's saying, I'm not trying to condemn you. That's the same thing that I'm saying as this internet pastor figure that I call myself to be. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to get everybody to come into cohesion with you know, cohesion. That's the right word, cohesion with God. All right, look at verse 4. Great is my confidence in you. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. I cannot say that about the church today. And it's unseemingly if I would tell myself I cannot say that about me today. How about you? Can you really say that? And then he says in verse 5, for even when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. In other words, they were being buffeted by life. He says, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. In other words, emotionally, we were being bombarded with life. We were tore up behind life. He says, but God, who comforts the depressed, there it is, there it is, comforted us by the coming of Titus. In other words, God is the one that brings comfort to us when we are cast down. And it says that Titus came to help comfort them. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. And so you see this common nicety amongst themselves as they were apt to build each other up, which is quite different from the way church people do it today. But I want to go now to verse 9, then I'm going to end up right there. He says, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Paul was saying right here, when I wrote you, when I chided you, when I warned you about how to live, it wasn't because I was angry at you, or that I was trying to beat you down, or that I was trying to show you a vindictive God that would threaten you with violence and things like that. He says, but that was just to get you to open up to see that you constantly needed change. Just like I constantly need it. I'm an older man now. I thank God. I was thinking about it yesterday. I thank God at 71 years old that I know of. I don't know. Maybe if I go to the doctor today, he'll say, hey, I spotted something in you or on you or about you. That's going. But right now, on this date, what is it, the 16th or something like that? Hey, man, on this date, I am feeling wonderful. Wonderful. More wonderful than I've ever felt before in my life. And you know who I attribute that to? Listen to me. Do you guys know who I attribute that to? The Lord God Almighty, my Lord and Savior. Here's a young man contacting me. Good morning, Uncle. What have you got going for the day? Now watch what I'm going to answer him. See, this goes right along with who I am. And I'm going to answer him right now, and you're going to hear the answer. Well, absolutely nothing. Wait a minute, I typed it in the wrong thing. See, that's what I have to learn how to do. I have to make sure that I'm typing in the right box right here. Now, here we go right now. Okay, well, okay, absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, what do you have going on for the day? See, now, if I didn't have something good in mind to share with this young man, I would not have said that, because I'm thinking about an arboretum, doing something like that. And if he wants to travel along with me, we can go there. I don't know whether he's ever seen an arboretum. I know right now that he's unemployed. I know that. And we've always talked about getting him more work. Every time he gets a job, the job runs out. He's struggling to make it. Man, you should see the way people, most people live in the inner city that doesn't have an education, and their parents didn't do, the parents didn't do what they were supposed to do in the life of the child. See, a lot of these parents have these children and just throw these children out to the street. Well, in the inner cities, these young men are roaming around. See, and he calls me uncle because I'm a dude that he can trust. He says, here's an older guy that stepped into my life. And I like the way he keeps my life excited. Yeah, that's what I do. What do you do? See, because that's the whole point. And just like Paul said, I didn't make anybody's life sorrowful. All right. And one more thing. Let me add this. And so that you can know that I'm not huck-suckling the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 reads like this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed. Now that's a good word for the payback. And this payback will be given you for the deeds done in your body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So God is going to judge me for everything that I do in my mind, in my body, in my thoughts, deeds, and actions. If I don't like someone because of their lifestyle, it's all right for me not to like them because of what they are doing, but I am to love them in spite of what they are doing. This is one of the hallmarks of our Christian faith. These are one of, and wait a minute, right under that verse, have you ever read verse 11? He says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, in other words, phanero, oh man, phobos, knowing, okay, the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made, look at this, manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in our consciences. It's very important for you to recall that. Now, since I've shared that with you, and I think that that is quite enough for the webcast today, good 43 minutes, we're talking about perseverance. We're talking about keeping on going in the Christian faith. And so what I want to do before I end this up, now let me go to my music collection and find something real special for you. But first of all, I just want to say thank you for coming to the website. It's, you know, it's a joy to come and see the hits that's on the website because you've come to my page. All right, let me end up. I guess they got the music cued. I'm going to let these boys sing to us. Go on. Take a good look
at what you see.
At what you see. What?
Maybe you notice there's a difference in me.
There's a difference in me, yeah.
Once an old man with my heart out of place. Now I'm a new man made by love and his grace. Somebody new.
Talking about somebody new living on the inside. That's that new person I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. Let's see what they're gonna do in verse 2.
You may have known me.
Yeah.
In years gone by.
Years gone by.
Stay on the outside. I'm the same old guy.
I'm the same old guy.
But while on the outside, I may still seem the same.
take a good look
at
what you see.
And open your eyes to someone you can be. Let the old things of your life pass away. Let it fill your heart so you can say somebody new.
Somebody new lives in me. Say it, boy.
Lives in me, somebody new.
Yeah, I love it.
Someone made to be somebody else.
Somebody else.
Here inside, somebody new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody new lives in me. Somebody new. Oh yes indeed. I'm someone made to be somebody else.
Somebody else.
Here inside. Somebody new. Somebody new.
Thanks for coming to the website. God bless you. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.